No. No coffee for me today. Got any decaf? Don't look so shocked. Is it fresh brewed? Sanka? No, thanks. No Sanka for me. Remember when my waitering days, and I would give Sanka to people. There always had to be a reason, I suppose, that they were drinking Sanka. It's powder that you put in hot water and stirred. Nobody ever tasted Sanka and said, "Now that's Sanka. That's a good cup of Sanka." I don't want any caffeine. Oh, hi, folks. Here, welcome to the diner. I'm James Lilacs. I'm sitting at my accustomed place at the long boomerang pattern for Micah Connor here at the old diner on an old Highway 23, about 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be right now. But hurry up. It's going to be one of those short shows. No coffee because I need to take a nap. I really want to take a nap. So what should I drink? Jubal has caffeine in it. You know, Jubal was started back in the 20s, I believe, and she had caffeine and everything, you know. Sanka must have been a tough sell to a country that was used to getting jacked on Serious Joe. Yeah, when you think about it. Here's coffee that doesn't do what coffee does. Enjoy! And people would rightly say, you know, coffee helped us win World War II. We didn't whoop Hitler because we were taking 40 winks. Why would you want coffee that doesn't have caffeine? I don't know. Well, maybe they understood. I don't know. Before Sanka, actually, there was something else. There was Postum. Doesn't that sound great? Postum. Nice cup of Postum. I think it was from Post. I think it was grain-based. It was a hot drink. And the idea with Postum was you could drink all you want, and you'll fall right asleep. Yeah, you be as bored as you possibly can with life, because coffee adds life. Coffee enhances it, gives it a zing. Then, of course, a certain involuntary trembling of the extremities, but you know what I mean. So Postum came along, I think that was in the 40s. That was maybe for the people, you know, 4F. Yeah, you don't have to stay awake. That's okay. Let the men handle the war. But it paved the way for the idea of a caffeine. It was the John the Baptist of caffeine-free hot drinks, and eventually the world got... Well, then, of course, fresh brewed decaf came along. That just changed everything. Oh, the looks. The smug, satisfied looks of the non-caffeine-drinking set when that stuff came in. Oh, no, I'll have fresh brewed decaf, please. Thank you. You have fresh brewed, don't you? I got something brewed back there. It ain't coffee. It's in the bun-o-matic. It's pretending it belongs, but you know what? We have to put it in a special mug. Big flask that either is green on the top or it's orange. To this day, for example, at work when I go back to get some coffee, there's an orange cap on one of the coffee pots that they have. Nobody uses it for decaf because it's a newsroom. Nobody makes decaf. It's a flippin' newsroom. At least I'm happy to see that as much has not changed. So much else has. When I got into the business, everybody at the Minnesota Daily, everyone smoked on Thursday night after we put the paper to bed. Don't you love that insider lingo? Put this paper to bed. Is it the bulldog? I don't know, but put 30 at the end of your copy and we'll put it to bed. And we'd go off to a bar and drink. And then, of course, newspapers morphed into something else, these graveyards of silence. And the old Daily was noisy, contentious, had a blue haze in it. There was a constant sound of people coughing because they smoked. And just chatter. It was just a lively, vivacious place. Then I go to a newspaper office. It's like an insurance office with all these little clackety-clackety-clackety-clackety-clack of people either setting up dominoes and, you know, tipping the first one and watching them all go, or writing, one or the other. But we depended on coffee in all those places. Anyway, so the last vestige of newspapering, as far as I can understand, manual typewriters gone, bottle in the drawer gone, smoking, swearing, flirting gone, but coffee is still there. So when I go back and I get the coffee and there's orange on one of the containers, I involuntarily recoil. Because I expect that inside might be coffee that is a pretender. but never happens. Anyway, so I have to, I'm tired because I need to take a nap. And I know that's really exciting stuff to listen to, but it's true. I can't fall asleep here. Between the hit sizzle of the grill, conversation, diner isn't really a good place for nod off for a little bit. But I need a nap for the simple reason that we have new neighbors. And the new neighbors have a large dog. And as far as I can tell from the way things go, the new neighbors wake up exactly 27 minutes before I do. Exactly 27 minutes. And those 27 minutes, I get some of my best sleeping in during those 27 minutes. I'm convinced of it. Good, solid, you know, fan de REM cycle sleep. I always wake refreshed. And I get about 6.5 hours of sleep a night, generally. But they let their dog out. It's a large snickeroodle or something, and a big caramel-colored, big old shaggy dog. And they put him out to do his business, and the dog, having excreted, naturally wants to come back inside where, A, it's warm, and, B, there's food. And I don't know what they're doing when they're not letting the dog in. I'm not sure if they're new dog owners, and when they see the dog standing at the back door, his nose against the glass, barking every 7 seconds, they think, I can't possibly imagine what they might. I mean, so they've got to be doing something else. They put the dog out, they go in the shower. They put the dog out, they go downstairs and start painting, you know, a closet from the inside or something, and it's soundproofed, and they can't, I don't know what it is, but they don't let the dog in, so the dog barks. And nothing is more irritating to me than the sound of an unanswered dog barking. Because they can pace it just perfectly, dogs can. I mean, so if they really want to annoy the entire neighborhood and get everybody up, it's bark, 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 which will go on until you are ready to strangle the canine. But you don't, because you love dogs. Then there's the dog that paces it out. Bark, you wake, fall back asleep. Bark, you wake, you don't fall back asleep. Bark, you know you're never going to fall back asleep. Bark, you wait. Bark. Yeah, so this sort of thing can absolutely destroy the last 27 minutes of my sleep. So it happened again this morning. Went to bed late, got up early thanks to the dog. Go downstairs, give my dog his food, put him outside, go upstairs, shave, get in the shower, come downstairs. Dog's been barking for 20 minutes. What do you want? Oh, right, you want in, so I let him in. So what I'm saying is, of course, the people who let their dog out 27 minutes before I do are bad people. But me, you know, when I get up, that's when the world should basically be up and doing things anyway. So I'm pretty much blameless in this situation. Well, what I've done here, I'm going to roll off and take a good nap. As I mentioned before, it's easy for me to fall asleep. Easy for me. The trick to it, you know, we used to say in college, no one would ever want to take college, naps in college. It was a sign of weakness, right? What did we used to say? I'll sleep when I'm dead. No, you won't. No, you'll be dead when you're dead. Sleep is defined pretty much as we know it as the thing from which you eventually wake. So, but I never took naps in college. And it wasn't until I finally worked a night shift at a radio station that I realized that I had to get some shut-eye before I went. And I did. And I learned to do it in a chair. I learned to do it on the floor. And eventually I gave in to my Epicurean tendencies and decided to nap in an actual bed, and it's been heaven ever since. So I lay my head down, and what I love more than anything is the little state that you enter before you fall asleep, where you know you are asleep. It's a remarkable place. There's you're in a dream state. You're doing dream things. They're not crazy, wild dream things where you're wearing the cloak of King Kamehameha and you're walking through a Walmart in Mexico yodeling Klingon opera, just to mention one recurring dream. It's not stuff like that, but it's got an element of unreality to it, and you recognize it that, oh, I'm dreaming, and then you're gone. I love that. And that's when the dog usually starts barking. My dog barking because he wants to be let outside. So it is a constant struggle, it is. Life, at its most quotidian level, is a constant battle of the competing needs of individuals, canine and otherwise. Somehow we get through the day, and somehow we get through the week, and here we are now on a Friday again. As I said, it'll be short, because I do want to lay my head down from a weary day, a huge day, immense day. I mean, in this week, aside from the usual stuff and the usual columns and the usual blogging, I wrote a piece for my magazine column. I wrote a piece for a newspaper somewhere out there in the East Coast. I just wrote. And now I'm done. Done, I tell you. Ready to listen to some music, too. Let's see what the fellow has stocked the jukebox with today, since we have no theme. Right? I don't think there's really a lot of... I know what I want. You know what I need? I need something calming. Something to help ease me into that pre-sleep state. Something to just wind down the week. Let's go to J2. Tequila. Is Java by Al Hurt. Great peppy little tune, but I don't need peppiness right now. I need to be calm. Don't need anything to get me agitated. I wonder what the flip side of that is. Sanka. Same thing except played half speed with a flute. And let's see what else we got here. Let's go to B1. No.
That's the Woody Woodpecker song. He's a pecking it all day long.
Yeah, I'll just bet he does. Did you hear that? Yes, that's the wind through one of the loose windows here at the diner. Good Lord. Yeah. Goes right between the metal frame there. It makes that sound frequently and kind of makes one a little jumpy, doesn't it? So nothing really here is helping me get into the nap spirit. I'm going to try one more piece here and, well, the penultimate piece. That could be the last one. Two more chances, Diner Jukebox. Give me something nice. Calm place. Going to my calm place. Going to a happy... Oh, hell with it. All right, that's it. Word from our sponsor. Be right back. Oh, good God almighty.
If you were caught in the middle of traffic, or if you just saved yourself from being drawn out to sea by the undertow, you'd have a right to feel nervous and jumpy and jittery. But when that nervousness is due to little things, when you jump because somebody speaks to you suddenly, when you're ready to blow up at the mere sound of the neighbor's piano, then it's time you looked into the cause of that jumpiness. For it might be something you could easily remedy. Something as simple as giving up coffee, perhaps. Although there are many people who can drink coffee without becoming nervous and jittery, there are many others who can't. So if you suspect coffee upset your nerves, switch to Postum. For Postum contains no caffeine or any other stimulant that could possibly set your nerves on edge. And it's an ideal mealtime beverage, tempting to look at, fragrant to smell, and delicious to taste. What's more, Postum is very economical, costing less than most other mealtime drinks, in fact, less than 1/2 cent a cup. You can get it at any grocer's in two convenient forms. Postum cereal, the drink you make by boiling or percolating, and Instant Postum, made instantly in the cup. So if coffee's been making you nervous and jittery, start drinking Postum regularly and see if those nerves of yours don't steady down.
I'm having a nervous breakdown.
I know there's hope. There's got to be hope. If I can find the right piece of music, I can get myself back into that nap state and then fall asleep on the drive home. All right. One more song. Let's go to Z1. Would somebody let that damn dog in? That's it. Nap's shot. Not gonna happen. I'll take some coffee. Yeah, thank you. You know, in the old days, a guy could just pop a Milltown without people thinking he had a problem. But no, in today's PC society, taking drugs is apparently wrong. So I'll just have to have some coffee here and get myself awake and ready for the evening's work. Well, anyway, heck, I hope I've kept you awake here for the last 20 minutes or so. And I thank you very much for dropping by the diner, folks. I'm James Lilacs, and this has been the diner for Friday. Hey, what is the date today? It's the 18th. February unravels in our hands. March will soon be hard upon us, but we'll deal with that when it comes. Thanks for coming, and I'll see you down the road.